The internet is swimming in spam. Computer users receive billions of unwanted emails every day, offers of help to become richer or firmer, even offers of help to get rid of spam. Apart from the annoyance and cramps from hitting the delete key, spam costs money. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce puts the cost to U.S. businesses at around $10 billion a year, including the cost of computer equipment and filtering software and in lost productivity.
A survey from the firm Nucleus Research found, on average, workers spend 6.5 minutes a day dealing with spam at the office. That cut productivity by 1.4%. For a worker who earns $30 an hour, that's an annual cost of $874.
It's numbers like that that are driving Congress to try to do something about spam. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill have no less than 9 bills to consider, all designed to regulate unsolicited commercial email. NPR's Andrea Seabrook reports.
Republican Congressman Billy Tozan of Louisiana says spam legislation is about America's historical right to turn it off.
What we're talking about in this case is on the internet, your right not to receive information you don't want, particularly when it's egregious and offensive.
What politicians don't agree on is how much to regulate unsolicited commercial email. The debate in the House is split along party lines. Most top Republicans support the Reduction in Distribution of Spam, or RID Spam Act. It would set legal requirements for unsolicited commercial email, such as including a valid street address and clear markings that the email is an advertisement. It would also require that consumers be able to immediately tell the sender they want off the distribution list. The bill sets penalties for companies that falsify information in the message or that continue to send solicitations to people who've asked them to stop. But critics of this bill, many of them Democrats, say it's too forgiving to spam senders. It would cap the amount of damages that can be collected from spammers, and it would allow subsidiaries of large corporations to keep sending email even if another subsidiary of the same corporation has been asked to stop. One Democrat said it's like swatting at flies. And one Republican critic, Heather Wilson of New Mexico, said having to ask each sender to stop or opting out would not really make the situation better.
You know, it might be reasonable to ask people for one or two opt-outs a day to protect their rights and protect the rights of free speech. But is it reasonable to ask a consumer to have to do that 100 times a day?
Wilson has co-sponsored the Anti-Spam Act, which many House Democrats support. It's similar to the RID Spam Act, but does not cap the damages from spammers and would allow internet users to refuse spam from a company or any of its affiliates. Critics of this plan say it comes down too hard on good-standing businesses legitimately marketing their products. How much to regulate business practices, the main difference between the two bills, is not an uncommon debate in Congress, but neither bill satisfies the concerns of many anti-spam activists who complain that both bills force the consumer to open spam and look through it to find the link to decline future emails. John Mozina, a founder of the Coalition Against Unsolicited Commercial Email, or COS, says consumers shouldn't have to get spam in the first place. He and other activists favor an idea currently before the Senate, similar to the wildly popular Do Not Call list set up to stop telemarketers.
A Do Not Spam list is the only concept out there legislatively at the moment that lets people say no thank you before they get the message.
New York Democrat Charles Schumer's bill would have the Federal Trade Commission administer the Do Not Spam list. Private consumers could sign up their own and their children's email addresses, and companies could list their entire domain name. For example, the Acme Corporation could bar all spam to acme.com addresses. Supporters of this bill say it would not only protect consumers from spam before it gets to their inboxes, but it would also relieve companies from the cost and hassle the daily flood of spam causes. But not everyone thinks the Do Not Spam list would work.
It's a bad idea to solve this problem.
Louis Mastria tracks spam legislation for the Direct Marketing Association.
It's become sort of a sexy response to this problem because of the Do Not Call list. But the Do Not Call list will work because the preponderance of people in the telemarketing industry are legitimate folks who have a lot to lose if they're sued or if there's civil action brought against them.
Mastria contends many spammers would pay no attention to a do not spam list because so much spam comes from non-legitimate and hard-to-trace sources. Even worse, says Mastria, spammers could actually use the list as a convenient source of presumably millions of active email addresses and send more spam. Whichever the approach, enforcing anti-spam laws will be tough, a burden that will fall mainly to the Federal Trade Commission.
We are in the FTC's Internet Lab. This is where we conduct our Internet investigations.
Brian Huseman is a lawyer with the FTC. This computer lab is where he and other investigators try to track down illegal spammers. The FTC also gathers spam. For years, it's collected junk email from consumers and saved it all in a computer that has mythic status in the anti-spam community, the refrigerator.
So basically, this is where we keep the spam messages, all currently 46 million of them.
The refrigerator is the size and shape of a fridge, but with racks of equipment and rows of blinking green lights. At the top, someone has taped a piece of paper that says simply, HAL. This lab is where local, state, and federal law enforcement come to sift through tens of millions of spam messages for clues as to where they come from. Huseman does a search for Nigeria and comes up with one well-known scam.
Assistance require for acquisition of estate. I write to inform you of my desire.
It's one of a kind of scam email that asks for your help and your bank account number. Those who send back the number find their accounts emptied. This kind of spam is obvious fraud and already illegal. But what many people may not know is that most spam flooding the internet, and roughly two-thirds of that in the refrigerator, is already illegal as well. The Federal Trade Commission Act prohibits deceptive and unfair practices, which include forging tracking information at the top of email messages and misrepresenting the purpose of the email in its subject line. The FTC, the Secret Service, and the Securities and Exchange Commission are already trying to track down some of these illegal spammers, but it is exceedingly difficult. So difficult that many spam investigators doubt any of the laws currently before Congress would actually change the amount of junk in their inbox. Andrea Seabrook, NPR News, Washington.